Start day to match the half test. Thomas Tovshin is on the three silver.
It's always with mixed feelings to speak about holidays in the 3 weeks. We had the Erev Shchodesh Av, getting closer to the next stage of the Avelis of the Beis HaMikdash, getting to the 9 days now. So it's always a bit of a mixed feelings. One small thought is that whenever someone does go on holiday and ends up, you know, in a place where you don't have what you used to, and things are missing, and things are not so comfortable, the Manisham also doesn't have his house. Kodesh Baruch Hu is homeless, so to speak. He had a house, the Beis HaMikdash, and he doesn't have it now, so wherever we feel uncomfortable is a bit of a feeling of Kaviyochel, what he goes through and what we daven should become in and of the goodness, yeah. But the Maaseh, halach is halach, and in a certain sense, the earlier one is a bit prepared for certain complications, halach, which might come up in holiday, one is more aware, one can ask a shayla and work out what the possible solutions are, so it's definitely included in Torah and halach and preparation to do the right thing. There's many different points one could discuss. There's Shabbos Dikein Yonim, there's general halachis, there's Tfilas Haderech, there's Kashris. We're only going to be able to touch upon a few of the subjects. There's another shiur someone else is giving next week, so I've spoken to him, coordinated, we're not speaking about the same things. We would like to start, Be'ez Hashem, now with a bit of Hechas Shabbos, and then a bit of general halachis, if there's time, a bit more. Hechas Shabbos, some of the classical questions, the typical shailas which come up in holidays. Trum. One of them is Trum. People stay in a little village. People stay outside any village, in the middle of the countryside. There is something which, if one is not aware, it's very, very easy to chas v'shalom fall for it, and that is the halacha of Trum Shabbos. One is not allowed to leave town. One is not allowed to go out of the borders of the town more than a certain amount called Trum Shabbos, which is, in Chazal's language, 1 mil, 960 meters. 960 meters, which is roughly 2/3 of a mile. Not very much at all. In a big city like Manchester, you're not going to have a problem. You can walk for hours and you're still in town. But if you're in a small village, or if you're in the countryside, the trum starts by the fence of the house. Or if you're in a small village, the trum starts when you leave the town, when you leave the village. Okay, it's hard to work out exactly when you're leaving the village. The last house, which is close to the other houses, once there's a certain amount, a gap of 70 odd amas, that's already called the end of the town. Very hard to work out exactly, because the halachas is square out of the village. Doesn't add much. Once one has left the town or the village, you go very little. Literally 960 meters, 10 minutes. Doesn't take much to be past that. And one's not allowed to go further than that. You can walk around in town, you can walk around the village, close, as long as you stick to close to the village, but one can't leave the village very far at all. If the path is a zigzag, if the path goes on a zigzag, then Pashtus, we don't work out the 960 meter zigzag, rather the way the curve flies. If it's on the way up, it's slightly more complicated how you work it out, but you have roughly 960 meters, if you look on the map, outside town. People will often say, well, there's something called Erev Tchumin. Erev Tchumin, one is only allowed to do for a big mitzvah like joining a minyan or something like that, not for Onik Shabbos or be able to walk. One is not allowed to do Erev Tchumin for that. Besides that, Erev Tchumin wouldn't give you much more. It would give you one more mil. One more times 2/3 of a mile, and you lose it in the other direction. Doesn't add much more in the first place. So even if someone is stuck in a place with no minyan and you go a minyan quarter of an hour away, very often one won't be able to walk to there. Unless you're walking through town, or there are towns very close by. You have to work it out according to the map. But if there's a gap of a mil, one can't get there. If there's 1 mil, you can make a trumin if you know how to do it. Okay, that's trumin. Another common halacha is hoitzer. If one is staying in a, well, not carrying obviously, but if one is staying in a block of flats, especially in a family camp, in a family camp, usually it's only Yidden, but one can't, we're not used to it because we live, most of us, in houses, but one can't carry from a flat to the hallway, because the flat is private and the hallway is public. It's like carrying from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim with Rabbanan. One can't do that. There's an easy way out. You make it for that. You're allowed to make Erev Chatzeres. That's not only one is allowed to make it, one actually should do it. It's a mitzvah. Big difference in the two. Erev Tchumin is only for one shouldn't do Lechatchila. Erev Chatzeres is a mitzvah to do. But one has to be aware of doing that. If there's goyim in the flat, if one is staying somewhere and there's goyim in the flat, that's a bigger problem. That's a big problem. One has to know how to do.
If there's only one Jewish family, then they don't need Erev Chatzeres. That's right.
They can carry the whole way without Erev. If there's only one Jewish family, but if there's not a Jewish family, even if they're not Trum, it's actually even worse than. Yeah. There's something to be aware of, the Trum and Hetzer. Okay. Another point one can often come across in holiday, even though it's I've seen it less and less. Sometimes in the toilets, there is a soap in there, which every time one flashes, the water pours over the soap, and it colors the water. And again, one at home, one is aware of these things, and one doesn't use that on Shabbos, but in holiday, often you're in someone else's house. And so that is a problem on Shabbos of tzevea. That's a problem of coloring water, which is tzevea. Even though we paskin, ain't tzevea be'oichlin, food, one is allowed to color, one is allowed to put tea into water, even though it colors it brown. The water in there is not drinkable. Most people will not drink it, and therefore it hasn't got the status of food anymore. Rather, it's looked upon as just it's drinkable theoretically, but yeah. But since people will not, it's not designated to drink. In halach, you wouldn't drink it. You're right. No, it is theoretically drinkable. If someone's desperate, no. But in the maaseh, you wouldn't, and therefore in halach, it's not looked upon as food. The halach is it's not looked upon as food. And one has to remove the soap before Shabbos. Yeah? I haven't seen those for a while. They're still around so much. But okay, it used to be very common. If one forgot to move it before Shabbos, then usually the best thing is... But the problem is muktzeh. Why can't you just pick it up, take it out? Since you can't use it Shabbos, that soap, it's a problem of muktzeh. So muktzeh, we know we can always move in a not regular way. So you move it with your foot, with the elbow, not always so easy. But if one can move it with the foot, that's the best. If one can't get it out, you know, or you tried and it fell in instead of falling out, and now the problem is even worse, it's lying in the soap, then we have a problem. Because this person, on the one hand, can't use this bathroom now, which takes us to a halacha called Kovod Abrius. Kovod Abrius says that if someone is in a very undignified position, a position which is going to compromise his dignity, Chazal will make a certain kulis. It's not a blank heter, certain kulis, and one of them is muktzeh. Muktzeh Chazal were making on. If someone is ever stuck in a bathroom without any Shabbos paper, and there's only a roll of paper which some person can hold as muktzeh, if one is stuck, one is allowed to use it. Muktzeh was pushed aside when the dignity of a person is very much compromised. So here we have such a case. The person wants to use the bathroom, there's a soap in there, I've tried my best to take it out with my foot, didn't work, fell in, or I can't manage. So then you just pick it out normally and take it out so one can use the bathroom. That's not ideal, one should do that before Shabbos. This is if it happened. Yeah, that would make it a bit lighter, but not mutter. It will come such things soon, yeah. Yeah, the main thing is the soap of it. Yeah, yeah. So you call it psigresh lenichle. It's still awesome in the Rabbana. It makes it light. We will have such ideas soon. It doesn't make it lighter, but still problematic. Sorry? Yeah. Okay. That is about coloring. Okay, let's go a bit to electronics. One of the hard ones, which is getting harder and harder as time goes along, is electronics. A lot of the flats and the places are redone, and all kind of electronics in there, which makes very big problems for Shabbos. So let's start to take a few of the common questions. And the best is, which is obvious, but one just has to be aware of it, to check it out the earliest possible. The earliest possible, even if someone comes to the holiday place on Tuesday or Wednesday, whatever it is, one shouldn't wait till the last, you know, Friday afternoon, because then you come to problems and you need solutions. You have to call up someone and you can't get hold of him. One has to think of that much early on. Because a lot of the problems have solutions, but one has to be able to work them out. So, a light in the fridge. Let's start with the easier one. The light in the fridge, many of the fridges have a light. And again, at home one solves it once and for always. When you come to holiday place, it's not my place, so I've not done it. Obviously, the best is if you can unscrew the light before Shabbos. That's the easiest. I don't know if the new fridges can be unscrewed, the system are built in. But in those fridges where one can unscrew the bulb is the best. If one forgot, okay, we're always going to have to talk about if one forgot to unscrew the light. Now it's a problem, big problem, because opening this fridge will cause the light to go on. It's a derisa of making fire, electricity, fire. So the best solution, if one forgot, would be to ask a goy, to call a goy, a neighbor or caretaker, and tell him. One could even tell him straight out. Why? Because this is called a psik resha, an unintentional outcome of opening the fridge. When you open the fridge, it's not an act of putting on a light. Opening a fridge is an act of opening a fridge, getting to the food inside. The light is an outcome, a titzor, which happens through opening the fridge. And the halacha is that an outcome, if it's definite, is osir. It's osir for yid, but one is allowed to ask a goy. Einem is kavn, psigresh is mutter amir la'akum. One can ask a goy, even straight out, do you mind opening the fridge? I have a problem, the light's going to go on, I can't do that religious-wise. Can you please open the fridge for me? Oh, so that's the next stop. So, to ask a goy to open the fridge, it's not so simple, it's not so poshut, because Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach holds that this is not an outcome, this is a direct action. And he says a very nice svori. He says like this: when someone is, the classical case in Gemara, pulling a bench on the earth, and the hole is, you know, he's carving out, he's making a hole in the ground by pulling the bench, that's an outcome. I'm pulling a bench and the hole is happening from itself. Opening the fridge, he says, this is the switch. There is no other switch for this bulb in the fridge besides the door. This is the only way how you put on the light. So it's not an outcome. This is how you put the light on. That's his sorry. It's not ideal, because according to him, you couldn't ask a goy. If one is stuck, many persons are chaylik that you can ask a goy. Yeah, we'll come to that. We'll come to that in a moment. If once you have a goy and it's opening the fridge, indeed, the best would be now to prevent, you know, the next time you want to open the fridge, each time to have to call him and closing it, we'll talk about in a moment. So what about asking him to unscrew the bulb? That's not so poshut, because that's not an unintentional act. That's a direct act. You're asking him, please, you know, the light which is now on, please unscrew it and put it out. So you'd have to hint. That would only be mutter v'remise. You can hint to the guy and tell him, you know, it would be very uncomfortable if each time I have to call you again, I've got a problem, I won't be able to take the food out each time now. Is there anything we can do about it? You can't tell him, you know, pulling out a bulb would help me. That's too much of a direct hint. That's quite sensitive, the rules of hinting, of remise. It's called remes der tzivui, remes le der tzivui. You'd have to hint him without mentioning the bulb. So, you know, it would be quite uncomfortable to call you each time. Is there anything you can do? You think you could help me out? And hopefully he'll help. Yeah, we'll come to that in a moment. Okay, we'll come to that in a moment. Now, if you've asked the guy to open the fridge, and he's not unscrewing the bulb, or you can't unscrew it, let's say, you cannot, let's say a case where you can't unscrew the bulb, many of the new fridges are still built in, whatever. So then, closing is another problem, because closing the fridge is going to put the light off. So if you can ask the guy to close the fridge once you've finished, it's fine. What are you going to do next time you need the fridge? I don't know, call him again. There is an eitzah, which is a bit of a practical idea, might not be so easy always, but the eitzah is to leave the fridge open. Now, you're going to lose all the cold air and everything will go off in there. So there's a very simple, practical idea of covering, leaving the fridge open enough that the light doesn't go off. You have to know how open. And then taking a big blanket and covering the opening, the whole opening. So first putting a towel in the door that I shouldn't close when I'm busy there, because that's going to be putting the light off. So, okay, put a thick towel there, it should stay open. And then take a big blanket or towel, a bath towel, and cover the opening so that hot air won't go in, cold air won't come out, and you've essentially created a bigger fridge. Might be an idea for the whole year, I don't know. But and then the fridge stays open, and the cold air stays in. The fridge is built in. Ask a child is more problematic, we'll come to that soon. Let's go a minute over to light in the hallway and then come back to fridges, to other problems. We're talking about lights, so let's first finish off lights. Light in the hallway, another one of these very common cases, especially in flats and family camps and these places. All electronic sensors or all kind of ways how the lights go on and off when one goes through the hallways, which is a big problem. Every time you're going through the hallway, lights going on. It might be any miscovering, it's not my intention, but there it's often a benefit, especially if the hallway is dark, no windows there, and it's by night or whatever it is. Light goes on, helps the person go through. So that's a big problem. That's a big problem. One has to really think about that before Shabbos, try and cover the sensors. Doesn't always work. Stick something on, falls off. Many of the sensors today are heat sensors. They're not even movement sensors. Where covering won't help. If it's a sensor which senses movement, you can cover it with a plastic plate or two. But if it's a heat sensor, it senses that someone has walked in the room, covering it won't help much. So that's a problem. That's a big problem. The best is obviously to talk to the one in charge, whether you can, if you can put it off, switch it off for Shabbos, or leave it on or off. If one is stuck, like happens very often, you know, you cover it and it falls off, or forgot one light, or forgot to cover light, that's a big problem. It's a big problem going there. Even closing the eyes, let's say you go there, close the eyes and walk through, so I'm not benefiting from the light, okay, but it's still at its source, it's a psikresha, no benefit, still also midrabanan. Sometimes it's very hard to say in public a straightforward heter because it depends a lot on the circumstances, but sometimes one has to ask, it's often hard to ask if it happened on Shabbos, obviously, but sometimes there is a way of using a child. And it goes like this. A child, one is not allowed to give an issa to a child. Even a child who is under bar mitzvah, obviously we're talking about, still, one is not allowed to give them an issa or tell them to do an issa. So to tell the child, you mind walking through the room there and putting the light on his issa, called safinan. Safinan, not allowed to give a child an issa. But what if the child doesn't know that the light will go on? What if the child doesn't realize? He's not been told, and you know his friends haven't spoken about it yet. He doesn't know that by going through this hallway, the light will go on. That's called misasik. Misasik, more than unintentional, totally not aware. Still asim midrabanan. So in desperate cases, there is a heter as follows. If the child goes through for his benefit, if you tell the child, there's a nash for you in the fridge, you know, up two floors, there's something for you in the cupboard, around the corner, and he goes through that hallway without realizing the light will go on. Well, once he's in it, he'll realize. But meanwhile, not. That's called misasik. Misasik by a cotton. Letzorkoi, in desperate cases, it could be its mutter. That's sometimes what they do. I've had it myself. We've been in a family camp, and this happened. And there was a rov there, and he says, do that. Once the child knows it's going to go on, you can't use him again. And once he tells all his friends, he can't use any children. But okay. It's a desperate case. It's a hard one. The light on the hallway is a very hard one. Let's go back to the fridge. Many fridges have, especially the new ones, have a fan which goes on or off the moment you open the door, have the engine which switches off the moment you open the door, you know, to keep the electricity, not to waste electricity while the door is open. That's a problem, because when you're opening the door, if it takes time till the thermostat senses that it's cold, there's hot air in it, that's really a gomer, that's really a long-term thing. But if it works straight away, like many of the new fridges are, that's a problem. Because again, it might be unintentional, but it's happening. Segregation is also. So one has to work out what causes this to happen. If it's a switch, like many of the older models still, well, the new older ones, where there's a switch which, when you open the door, you can see it there, it's by the hinges somewhere, there's a switch which, many of the lights have that. That's quite easy. So you sellotape it down for Shabbos, make sure the sellotape sticks there, because it's hard to sellotape. It's wet and damp, they often sound. But okay, one can find an answer to solve that. If it's a magnet, like many of the new fridges have, there's no switch there at all. So there, often, there is something indeed called a magnet, which one can buy for a few pounds. Some of the Yiddish people who deal with this have that. And it's a small magnet. I've actually bought myself now. I'm scared what's going to happen. I'm going to a place I've never been, so I don't know. I'm just coming prepared. So it's a small magnet like this, which works, which you're meant to use as follows. The system is that the fridge door has such a magnet, and the frame of the fridge has a receiver, electron, I don't know what you call it, the other side of the magnet, and when the two meet, there's a sensor which tells the engine to go on, the fan goes on. When the two separate, because the door is open, then the electronics go off. So what we're going to try and do is trick the fridge into thinking that the door is closed the whole time. So one is going to take this little magnet, which you can buy, and move around, usually it's at the top of the frame somewhere or by the hinges somewhere. Move it around, and it's very easy. How are you going to know? Okay, let's go back a minute. How are you going to know what my fridge is? So when you come to holiday place, you go to the fridge, and you listen carefully for any noise. You open the door, and you listen if anything changed. If the noise suddenly went off, or the noise suddenly went on, then you know we've got a problem, because the door is directly affecting some electronics. If you open the door and you try it a few times, nothing happens, should be okay. Can't hear, it's quiet, they made it very quiet. If you can hear the noise, then you take this magnet, move it around the frame until you hear the engine going on. And then you know, oh, I've caught it, the machine is now thinking the door is closed. Often it's together with the light, right. It has to be, I don't know, I'm not enough of electronics to know whether it has to be connected, I don't know. But yeah, indeed, if you see the light goes off, even better. And then you leave the magnet there and the fridge thinks that he is closed, that's quite easy. It sticks down when it went sweater. Yeah, yeah, masking tape would be better to take it with. All the sellotapes come off. It's a problem. It's a hard one, the sellotape. It's always a hard one. Duct tape, the black one, the thick one. That's excellent. Okay. Come prepared. If none of these eights help, there is actually eitzah which I think is the best. It's not so practical, but halachadik, looked with halachadik eyes, it's mistama the best. And that is a time switch. I've already set aside two time switches. I'm really nervous about Shabbos. So two time switches to take with. And the system is very simple. You put the time switch on and off according to your own needs, every quarter of an hour on and off, or every half an hour, whatever it is. And then when the machine is off, sorry, nothing will happen. When electricity is disconnected, nothing is going to go on. When electricity is connected, you can't open the fridge. So if you do every quarter of an hour, every half an hour, you'll be stuck. Then that quarter of an hour when it's on, you can't use it. Magnet, yeah. And it worked. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Many people work. Sure, that's what we said before. The magnet works for many people, even here in town, people use it on a permanent basis. But if one is stuck or nervous or you don't have a magnet, a time switch is definitely a good idea. It will not break the fridge as far. I'm not taking any chaz, but I've asked the electrician, he said once or twice using it a few Shabbos, will not break the fridge. Even though long term it might break the fridge, you know, playing the electronics too much, but on a short term basis, it won't break the fridge. So that's a good idea, to take with a time switch if you have it stuck, quarter of an hour on and off, half an hour on and off, three quarters of an hour, whatever it is. But you have to be aware, then there'll be a certain time you can't use the fridge. Some fridges have a thermostat, electronic thermostat reader, which some of them, it takes time till the thermostat senses that, you know, the heat level has gone up, and some of them change straight away when you open the door. Both of them are problematic. The one which changes straight away is obviously more problematic. The one who takes time to change is much less problematic. But I've heard in the name of Falcon, both of them, the best is to cover it over. Just take a piece of black sellotape, cover it over that you can't read it. And if you can't read the thermostat, the electronic reader over Shabbos, then it's brought down to the level, as was mentioned before, of non-benefit outcome. There's a very big difference always when I'm doing something and there's an outcome which is beneficial or a non-beneficial outcome. Here, by covering it over, I can't even read it. It's non-beneficial, it's no use. It's even less than non-beneficial, it's mustamim, it's asik, and that seems to solve that problem, covering over there. One more point, just a few more points about Shabbos is, sometimes back to the bathrooms, the flash has a pump. If one is living in a place of low pressure, low water pressure, they have electronic pumps. That's also a big problem. And you'll hear that straight away, you press the flash and you hear a big noise, electronics, something is working there. That's a pump. That's a big problem, because can't even say it's a non-beneficial outcome. It's quite beneficial to be able to use the flash next time. There's a problem. Again, if you can switch it off before Shabbos, okay, it's the best. If one can't, it's a hard one. So here, what do you do if you're stuck in a place where the bathroom works with a pump? That's a very hard one. But less brere, if your mom is stuck, we're going to go back to the heter mentioned at the beginning of Kavod Abrius. Kavod Abrius is compromising the dignity of a person very much. You know, not using the fridge is one thing. It's not talking about dignity of a person. But not using the bathroom or using it and not, you know, not using the water after is a big problem. So there one would do it with a shinui. One would do it in an odd way. Use a little finger or elbow if you can get... That's how you can do it. Press the flash in a not regular way. Shinui, Kavod Abrius. It's a drabanan. One doesn't have much of a choice. Yeah, you could theoretically, not always say comfortable, but yeah.
Because the pump pumps it up, it's low, and the drains are higher, using a bucket won't help, it'll just overflow.
It won't go? Depends what happens. It might not always work, okay? Sometimes the taps will have the same problem. If the toilets have it, often the tap will also have a pump, that's also a problem. I've heard from someone that leaving the tap on a little bit will cause the pump to stay on the whole Shabbos. Make sure that the owner of the house doesn't come in and switches off his tap. over Shabbos, but I've heard that leaving the tap on a little bit, then you can even turn it a bit bigger or smaller over Shabbos, just don't switch off. It's a hard one. It's one of these hard ones. And the best answer, like we said before, to come before Shabbos and be prepared, think about this earlier, and look around, check out. As I'm planning, the first thing to do is check out for electronics for Shabbos. I think it's the most important one. The kashering will come after that.
Somebody forgot to take the lamp out of the fridge and he's got small children.
Oh, we didn't go back to that. So the best is a go. You see, the fridge, yeah. The child is a hard one. Just like if your mum is stuck on a fridge, you want to, is it like the hallway? Can you ask a child who doesn't know the light will go on to take something for his benefit? The others want to say you could theoretically do the same idea, but it's very hard to use. The fridge seems to be worse. It's more direct and more of a benefit often. Seems to be a bit worse. It's a very hard one. Yeah, but if he knows the child goes on, it's a problem, because then you're really telling him do an issa which one can't do. I mean, you are mishtak, we're not talking about mokim choyle, that. Okay, that's very sechnish. But in a normal matzah where there is food around, you just won't have the cold food, etc. It's very hard one. A go is much better. Okay, I don't know if there's. I think I want to move on to something else. I'm not going to go too much into hotel rooms now with card readers. There's also problems, you know, these modern hotels where you use a card to open the door to get electronics working. Also a hard one. Also one would have to hint to a guy to do that and leave the card in the room. Okay, let's go a little bit to other halachas. We have a few minutes left. Some other common halachas which happen over holidays is netilas yadayim, a few minutes, netilas yadayim. Washing the hands. If one is stuck without water, the halachas, what do you do? If you're very hungry, stuck without water anywhere around you, then you cover your hands with something, material or plastic bag, and eat like this without saying halachas yadayim, obviously, but that's not an ideal case. Maybe the most common, mistake is not a nice word, but misconception maybe in halachas yadayim is seawater. One cannot use seawater for netilas yadayim. One cannot use seawater for netilas yadayim. You can use seawater for dipping the hands in. Washing the hands for bread, there's two ways of doing it. Usually we all do it with a keli, washing the hands. Sometimes one is allowed to dip the hands, but dipping the hands are different halachas. You cannot dip the hands in a keli. Dipping the hands can only be in a mikveh. In a kosher mikveh. The sea is a kosher mikveh. Perfect mikveh. So in the sea, since the seawater is not drinkable, one can't use it to pour over the hands. One can dip the hands, but only in the sea. Often we even remember, you know, telling children, go to the sea, you know, you're sitting by the beach, go to the sea, bring a bucket of water, we want to wash for bread. It doesn't work, you can't do that. You can either, well, no, not either, there's only one option, go to the seawater and dip your hands in the sea, make sure that it doesn't touch the sand underneath, you don't have to go till it's, who knows how deep, it can be quite shallow, as long as your hands are covered in water, and you can make netilas yadayim like that. That's perfect. But bring back seawater, can't be poured, can't even dip the hands in the keli, that doesn't work. The bracha, if you do dip your hands in the sea, the bracha would change. Nishma'akev, nishkefelech, we get it wrong, because it's major machlekesen, but lechatchile, the bracha would become, asher kedeshanu mitzvos v'tzivanu, al tevilas yadayim, because that's what you're doing, tevila. Nishma'akev, did al netila, it's also fine. But that's an important one. Yes, God. Yeah, but even if it's shallow, yeah, and you touch your, and you touch, okay, yeah. Can you use a plastic cup? Okay, that's a classic shaila. Can you use a plastic cup? It's a big matter. Okay, so if one is stuck, use a plastic cup. You can use something which, for some reason, is not thought of very much, a plastic bottle. If you're stuck in an outing, no plastic cup. I try and take with usually a netilas yadayim cup. We have a smaller netilas yadayim cup, which is perfect. But if you only have a plastic cup, if you're stuck, that's fine. Most places in the world, it's fine. A bottle is also good. If you have no cups, a drink bottle might have a small spout. It's not a problem at all, as long as the pour, the shficha samaim, is in one go, even if the spout is very narrow, which drink bottles is not even so narrow, but even if it were to be quite narrow, as long as it's not just drip-drip. As long as it's pouring in one go, perfect for netilas yadayim. Might take a few seconds till the whole hand is wet. And the other hand, perfect keli, a bottle is a keli, as good as a plastic cup. It's not ideal because it's disposable, but no one can make the broch on that.
Can you take a bucket of water and what dip your hands in it?
No, because dipping is only in a kosher mikveh. Either the sea or a mikveh, or we'll talk about a river in a few moments. Not in a bucket, no. A bucket is only for pouring, not for dipping. Dipping is only in a kosher mikveh. Even if it's drinkable, it's only for pouring, not for dipping. Can't dip your hands only in a kosher mikveh. Yeah, a river will come to in a minute. Yeah, but it's moving. Okay, well, let's see it for a moment. A plastic bag, one can't use for Netilas Yadayim, because one of the conditions of Netilas Yadayim is a keli. It has to be a keli. A keli is a vessel which stands on its own. A plastic bag will flop down on its own. It's only the water which keeps it up. If you knot it at the top, that's not a vessel in Chazal's eyes. So you can't use a plastic bag, but a cup or a plastic bottle is fine. A moment of Abikas Hamazon, benching. The one child, well, the one child is big samoz, he meant to bench sitting, where you et lechatchile. But the one interesting point is the Rachman. One of the Rachmans goes, Rachman, who yishlach leon ebrochem ruba, vabayis hazeh, val shulchon zeh shchal olav. And what if you're an outing in the countryside, no table, no house to speak of, no bayis, no shulchan, what do you say there? Well, okay, so many times you think of it once you're up to Oseh Shalom, but okay, if you think of it earlier, then there is a nusach to say in the camp, when you're in an outing, not in the not in the house. And the nusach, there's a long nusach and a short nusach. So the long nusach, you have to memorize or write it in a, you know, in a bench if you go on your pocket. The long nusach goes like this: Rachman yishlach lona brachem meruba, b'makim halichaseinu, u'b'makim yeshivaseinu ad oilam. That's the mishaburis nusach. I've wrote it in my bench for myself to have. Wherever we go, wherever we sit, ad olam forever. Yeah, definitely. In a train, indeed, in a car, lechori would say that, not a vase, not a shulchan. Oh, in a house in a goy, if you've rented a house, you can say that, yeah. Balabas, you can also say, because balabas means the owner of the food. You can say balabas even if you're in a house of a guy, and you can say balabas hazeh v'ashulchan zeh if you rented it for a week or two, and you now... No, you're blessing yourself. You know, the next week we need siyata l'shmai every second, we need bracha every minute. If you forget the long nusach, there's a short nusach from, I think, the kitzur shulchan aruch, who says, rachman yishlach lona, bracha meruba, and you stop there. You just stop there. You just don't continue saying words which don't make sense of balabas hazeh v'ashulchan zeh, there's no house on the table. Just stop after bracha meruba. Okay, halachas of tefillah, a few minutes. Sometimes a person comes to a place and there's a tzelem, a shesiv erev, a cross hanging there. One is not allowed to daven opposite a tzelem. It can happen in a hospital, religious hospitals, can happen in airports sometimes. Mishavur says, rather not to face mizrach, I'm not a patient is lying in a religious hospital and there's a big tzelem opposite him, he should rather face sideways, even though it's not mizrach, than facing a tzelem. If you're in a holiday place, you can either take it off or cover it up. Someone told me once taking off is a bit, covering it up is a bit better. Why? Because you take it off, you're going to have to put it back when you leave. And you're going to be honoring it by hanging it up in a nice place. Okay. Idea. Tachnun. Tachnun, one always says whether you have a minion or not, whether you're an owner or not. What you don't do sometimes is nefilas apayim. Doesn't mean not to say tachnun. Tachnun one always says, unless there's a reason not to say tachnun. But okay, tachnun you say is falling on the hand, on the arm, which has conditions. And the condition for nefilas apayim is not a minion, interestingly enough, it's a sefer Torah. It's a sefer Torah. So if you have a minion but no sefer Torah, you can sit or stand while saying nefilas apayim, but not fall on, while saying tachnun, but not fall on the hand. And if you have a sefer Torah but no minion, you can't do nefilas apayim. Interesting. Halacha, if you have svarim there and it's long term minion, that's a really big machlokes. Some hold you can make into the time with svarim if it's a. Also need a minion. Yeah. Shoshes midas indeed needs a minion. Yeah. Moganovo is Friday night, needs not only a minion, you know, after Kwad Shemanesra, Moganovo is not only needs a minion, it needs a kavua de kaminion. It's a bit of a shaila, either a few days or 2 weeks. But if it's a week or so, many persons hold you can say ready Moganovo if you're there for a full week. If you're just there, you know, over Shabbos, then one would leave out that bracha. Going to a minyan also has halachas. Going to a minyan, there is what you have to do, and there is the minus. What one has to do is, one has to go a mil. In Chazal's measurements, a mil is what we mentioned before by, where do we have a mil? Yeah, by Tchum Shabbos. A mil is 960, well, no. A mil is 2/3 of a mile. The question is, does this mean time? Or does this mean distance? Many persons say it means time, and the time it takes to walk a mil and more is 18 minutes. So one would have to go out of his way 18 minutes to, if there is a minion within the 18 minutes, and that's the famous riddle, how come a person would have to go for shachis but not for mincha? Because mincha is traffic rush hour, and it'll take longer than 18 minutes. A shachis will take him 15 minutes. If a shachis has to go, mincha not.
That's
not the way to kufa. Yeah, if it's a time zicher. Minion is one of these hard ones. Let's do a little bit Tvilas Kalim, just a few moments. Tvilas Kalim, often on holiday one arrives and starts unpacking and see if you got the peeler and the knife and the pot. We came once, took a crock pot with and it came back, it came there smashed. We had to buy a new pot. And then you have, one second, we just had yesterday's parsha. Parsha's matter is Tvilas Kalim. So you have to tovel it. What do you do now? You can't use it while toveling. Putting plastic cellophane inside doesn't help. According to all the poskim, that is not a solution. Because you're using the keli, that's not the answer. So what do? So you have to tovel it. Okay, so if you, the options are as follows. If you're by the sea, or you're going to the sea, or you can go to the sea as the best option, sea kosher mikveh. Sea is a kosher mikveh for kelim, for netil sedaim, etc. If you're not by the sea, the next option is a river. Now, a river is a hard one, because a river, we know the halacha of a mikveh is, has to be standing still. Water has to be standing still. The only water which is allowed to move and still be kosher for a mikveh is a spring. A spring, mikveh rizal, or in England, plenty of springs around Manchester. Springs are naturally moving. They're called live springs, ma'im chaim, because they have a life to them. They move naturally, so they're allowed to move. Rainwater, not. Has to be standing still. Now, what is a river made of? Go work out whether a river is mostly spring water or mostly rainwater. After the rain, it always, you know, the river gets higher. So, what is it? So that's a hard one, because if it's rainwater, it's no good. So, if one is stuck, we have a Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam, a few times in Tosfos says, and in his passage Shulchan Aruch, if one is stuck, that there's no such thing as a river who has more rainwater than spring water. He says, a chiddush kol tipus yerd mishamayim, shtei tipus oiles kenegdim mitahoyim. It's a chiddush built on Chazal, that every drop of rainwater which comes down, two drops come up from the springs below the surface. And therefore, according to him, all rivers will be mostly rainwater. So if one is stuck, one can rely on Rabbeinu Tam, a tovel there. Most of the river will be spring water, therefore kosher. Not a little stream, which is only there in the winter or when it rains. It has to be a river which is there permanently, which zich has some spring water. Then he says most of the water is spring water. If it's a little stream, no good. Normal established rivers which are on the map are there the whole year. But a little stream not, and something else not. In Switzerland and France, in these places, a lot of the streams are melting snow. And then you know that the entire river is rainwater, melting snow, and not spring water, and that's no good. In England, most of the established rivers are zikhe partially spring water, and even though after rainfall the level of the water rises, Rabbeinu Tam says, yeah, it rises partially because of the rain, partially because of the springs, which also work over time. But in the lakes, not much snow up there, is there? A lake, also a hard one, is it moving? If one is stuck, Mr. A lake would also be okay, but that's only for Kalim. For people to tell them, we have to be very careful. For a man, Erev Shabbos, okay, a spring, even a swimming pool would be okay, but Tvilas Chi, one has to be very careful. Okay. The last option, it's not a bad option. If one is very stuck, you can be marked indeed to a goy, because we know an item which belongs to the goy, what doesn't need tefillah. If one goes to a restaurant, you're allowed to use a cup, not a mug. A glass cup one is allowed to use, maybe even for hot drinks, but for cold drinks, one is allowed to use without tefillah because it belongs to the goy. And therefore, the next option would be to be marked to the goy. So if you buy a new pot and you're stuck, you have to go. If who's not there, no, if you're not there, you can't be makna, no. He has to make some kinin. So you have to go to your goy, which you've already used him three times for Shabbos. He already anyway thinks that, you know, the last time he's renting out the house. Oh, so that's not so simple. Can you go to Tesco and have in mind, I don't want to be coined, because Tesco will tell you, I don't want that, what are you doing to me? It is such an option. Okay, the motion is help, we should be zeichet to travel to Yerushalayim, because splendid holiday day. Amen.